it's good to be along with you tonight in the share in your meeting. I didn't know it was your last meeting. Maybe after listening to me tonight, it probably would be. But anyway, it's good to be here, and it's good to have fellowship with you. My subject tonight, when I was asked by Sharon what it would be, the altars of life. The altars of life. Life changes, doesn't it, as we get older and our circumstances change and different things change in our lives. But it's the same with God. It's the same with God. And tonight I just want us to read a few verses of scripture from the book of Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. Before we read, let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for the cross of Calvary. We thank you, Lord, for these beautiful hymns we've been singing tonight about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and about the precious blood that was shed to redeem us. And thank you, Father, tonight for your wonderful salvation and for all that you've given to us, even your precious word. As we read your word now, Father, we pray that you'll help us read it, and you'll help us understand it, and you'll open our hearts to it, Lord, that when we do leave this place tonight, Lord, we'll leave knowing that it was here we met with our God. So we ask you now, Father, that you would stand in our midst tonight in all thy risen power, and you will bless your word to all of our hearts. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Well, we're just going to read a few verses there from Genesis chapter 12 and reading from verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto the land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abraham took Sarai, his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Shechem, unto the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanite was in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram, and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there built he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west, and Hai on the east, and there he built an altar unto the Lord, and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abraham journeyed, going on still towards the south. And there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. Amen. And we know the Lord will bless his word to our hearts tonight. The altars of life. Life changes. Circumstances change. We go to school, we leave primary school, we go into secondary school, we maybe go to college, we maybe get a job, we get married, and everything changes. And whenever we are living in this world and living for such a time as this, things change with God too. Things change with God too. And there's certain places and there's certain times. You can look back on maybe your life now, maybe it hasn't been going so long and maybe longer than others, but we look back and there's been special times. There's been places that we have been, that we enjoyed being, and we enjoyed the place. Maybe it was a holiday, or maybe it was a relative, or maybe it was some other sort of situation. But you enjoyed being there, you see. And with God, it's the same. With God, it's the same. There's always special times of meeting with God. Always special times of meeting with God. And tonight we're going to look at the life of Abraham. We're going to call him Abraham, and we're going to call Sarah, just for the sake. We know their names were changed, and then just to save any confusion. So we're going to look at the life of Abraham, and we're going to look at the altars that Abraham had in his life. The things that he could look back on when he got to the end of his days, and those special times he met with the Lord. Now, the first altar I want us to notice tonight is the altar of corruption. You see, Abraham was born in sin, just like everybody else. The Word of God tells us all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So whenever we are like that, we are building our own altar for what we want to do, you see. It's things we want to do. They're outside of God. God doesn't come into our thinking. God doesn't come into our planning. God doesn't come into it at all. It's just whenever we are born in this world, that's the way we are. Now, I'm going to give three illustrations of three people that are at different times in their life. There's a man over in the Bloomfield Church. Well, this man is well on. He's in his late 90s. And he met with the Lord on the cobblestones of Woodvale, the Woodvale Road, and the top of the Shankill Road in North Belfast. He went out one Sunday night, and as he was standing there in the open-air meeting, there was a man called Fred Orr was doing it. Now, we've all heard, maybe you haven't, but Fred Orr was a great missionary. But anyway, Fred Orr got up and he was preaching the gospel, and after he preached in the open air, he says, "Is there an elderly man here tonight who wants to get saved? Somebody that's well on in life." And he says then, he says, "Maybe there's a middle-aged man here tonight that wants to get saved." And this man out of our church, Charlie, you call him, and Charlie was only a teenager. He was a young man in his teens. And he was standing there, and he says, "I wonder if he'll get to somebody my age." But anyway, eventually he did, and he says, "Maybe there's a young man here wants to get saved." And Charlie went forward, and he knelt down on the cobblestones in the Woodfield Road, and he got wonderfully saved. You never hear things happening like that now. But that's where Charlie gets saved. There was a young man in the Word of God called Samuel. And the Lord called him twice. "Samuel, Samuel." And you see, Samuel didn't know it was the Lord's voice. And he maybe was at a tender age, and maybe it had been his mother Hannah left him into the temple, and there maybe he didn't see much of the corruption that was going on around the world. But yet, he was still a sinner, and he still needed to be saved. And then there was the rich young ruler. Boys, he was going well in his life, you see. Here he was in middle age, and he was rich, and everything was going to him, and he run up, and probably come from a very good home, and probably nobody could point a finger at him. But yet he got down on his knees before the Lord, and he says, "Lord, what must I do?" He says, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" The Lord says about the commandments, "All these have I kept from my youth up." Then the Lord pricked his heart. And the Lord says to him, he says, "Go and sell all that I have. Take up the cross. Give to the poor. Take up the cross and follow me." You see, it was a different ball game altogether now, you see. He was asked to give something up. And you see here, we know he went away and the Lord was sorrowful. And then there was Nicodemus. You think of Nicodemus and the people that he was teaching the Word of God to. And he never knew the Lord. When Jesus met with them at night, he says, the Lord says to him, "Ye must be born again." So therefore you see in the different stages of life, you see, some of us can maybe not corrupt the world too much, but others can corrupt the world so much And you see here, the altar of corruption. That's our own altar. That's the altar that we are building. That's the altar that we have, that God does not come into it. And then, there's the altar of conversion. That's the place we met with the Lord. The altar of conversion. That place, you see. Now, the Word of God doesn't tell us here where Abraham, maybe it does, I haven't found it yet, but we knew it was an Ur of the Chaldees, but we don't know exactly what in place it was. Was it in his home? Was it out on the road? Where it was he met with the Lord? All we know is that he met with the Lord. Whenever you go to Isaiah chapter 29 and verse 22, Isaiah 29 and verse 22, it says there, "Therefore thus saith the Lord, who redeemed Abraham." The Lord saved Abraham, you see. Where exactly and what place? Some people get saved in different places. You think of the Apostle Paul. Where did he get saved? He got saved on a road going down to Damascus to persecute the Christians. That was his altar. That was his start with God. Whenever you think of Zacchaeus, it was up a tree. It was up a tree. God planted a tree, knowing that one day Zacchaeus would get into that tree, and that was his altar. Whenever you think of the woman at the well, whenever she met with the Lord, that was her altar. And whenever you think of Lydia, was down by a riverside, and that was her altar. And I wonder tonight, dear friends, I don't know, I only know a couple here, but yet, where has your altar? Where was your altar? Where was that place that you met with the Lord? Was it beside your bed? Was it in Sunday school? Was it in a wee back room in the back of a hall? Where was it? You see, I know where my altar was. The very first altar that I built for the Lord was in my own living room and my own home in North Belfast. It was coming on to 23 years ago, Boxing Night coming. And there, through Romans 10 and verse 9, that I met with the Lord. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And there in my own living room with my wife kneeling beside me, we sought the Lord, we got wonderfully saved, and that was our beginning altar. That was our first altar for the Lord. That was the place that we met with God. And I wonder tonight, dear friends, can you look back in your life? Can you know that very first altar where you met with the Lord? You see, if you haven't met with the Lord, if you haven't got to that place yet, you see, then you're still building up your own altar, and your altar is an altar of corruption. And the longer you go into your life, and the longer you go on without God, the deeper and the deeper and the deeper into sin that you go. And you're building your own altar. So therefore we see the altar of corruption, we see the altar of conversion, and we see the altar of cleansing. There in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 7 it says, "And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, Unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him." You see, for the last 25 years, you see, Abraham wasn't in the place where he eventually got to the place where the Lord wanted him to be, but he was in a little place called Haran there in verse 5. You see, he had stepped out of the will of God. Okay, he met with the Lord in Ur of the Chaldees. He was obedient. He come out of Ur of the Chaldees, and maybe for the next 25 years, they say, he was in this little place called Haran, and there he was maybe in the place of wilderness. You see, whenever you start off in your Christian life, you see, sometimes you go off into a wilderness experience. Whenever you look of all the great men of God, they all went to that place. Now, somebody picked a hymn or a chorus there earlier on, and we only sang the half of it. And when I was thinking about looking at the words of it there, it's just a wonderful chorus. Purify my heart, let me be as gold, and precious silver, purify my heart, let me as gold be pure gold. Refiner's fire, my heart's one desire is to be holy. Set apart for you, Lord, I choose to be holy. Set apart for you, my master, ready to do your will. You see, sometimes God takes us into a wilderness experience, you see, to purify the heart. To purify the heart. When you look at anybody that done a work for God, when you think of Joseph, he went into that place. His brothers threw him down into a hole, a pit in the ground, and they left him there, eventually to come back and kill him, but yet eventually they sold him and he went down into Egypt. He went down into Potiphar's house, and then he went into prison, and all sorts of things happened to him. But when you read the Word of God, you'll see from the Word of God it says, and the Lord was with him. And the Lord was molding him and shaping him and doing a work of grace in his heart and life because he had something for him to do further on down the road. And you see, here Abraham, when he came out of this little place, Haran, the very first thing that he did was that he got down there in verse 7. And it says, and there built he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. You see, he's now back in the will of God. When you look through the life of Abraham, he stepped out of the will of God many times. So therefore you see the altar of cleansing. I used to work in a molding shop. It was one of the very first jobs I got when I came out of school. And it was there in Sydney Street West. That's between the Shangle and the Crumlin Road. And when I went into this molding shop anyway, they had a big furnace. It was a massive big furnace, you see. And what the man used to do, he used to put clay all round the inside of it. And then they filled it up with sticks. And then they put blocks down. And then they filled all this metal down in the top of it. And then later on in the day, he would light the fire. And the heat would go all up through that metal, and it would melt it. And then when you went down into the molding shop, there was a big funnel. And there was a little hole at the top of the funnel, and a man used to poke that hole with a big iron bar. And the metal used to come out. And it used to be white. White. And then they would take the metal and they would pour it into the molds all over the place and they would make the likes of gratings, you see, in the streets and different things. You see, God sometimes puts us into that. Puts us into situations where he refines us that we may come forth as gold. It's good to know things like this in your Christian life, you see, because whenever you get further up the road, and you find yourself in them, then you'll be able to say to yourself, well then, God's refining me. He's making my life into pure gold. And it's good to know that. I didn't know that, you know. Whenever I get saved, things used to happen to me, and I used to turn around and I used to say to my wife, Sandra, tell me this here, are we supposed to be going through this? Are we not Christians now? Isn't everything not supposed to be nice and rosy and everything nice and smooth? But you see, I didn't know the scriptures. And I come to learn very, very quickly that God allows us to go into situations that he might refine us, that he might cleanse us. So therefore, you see, the altar of cleansing. And then there's the altar of communion. We read about that there in verse 8. In verse 8 it says, and he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west, and Hai on the east, and there he built an altar unto the Lord, and called upon the name of the Lord. The altar of communion, the place of prayer. You see, that's important. That's an altar we need. The altar of prayer. Should it be in our own bedroom? Should it be in another room in the house? Should it be in a church? No matter where it is, we need to pray. We need to have that altar. We need to have that little spot where we can get down on our knees before God and pray. Because, listen, if you don't pray, then all sorts of things will happen. We need to pray. There needs to be that altar. There needs to be that place where we come apart every day and we read the Word of God and we pray. That's important. That's very important. You see, whenever you think of the life of Joshua and Joshua got defeated after the walls of Jericho came down, and one of the mistakes that he made was that he just sent the men up the Ai and he never prayed about it. And we face a battle today. We face a battle today in our little land here that we'll never ever win unless we be a praying people. A people that pray. A people that meet with God. A people that have an altar. An altar of prayer. It doesn't matter what age we are. The first signs of being born again of the Spirit of God is you start speaking to God. That's the first sign. It comes natural. It comes a natural thing, the place of prayer. The sad thing about Abraham here is whenever you read on through chapter 12, you realize that he went away down into Egypt. And when he forgot about the place of prayer, he found himself getting into situations that he should never ever been in. He should never have been in Egypt, but yet he went into Egypt. And he left the place of prayer. He left Bethel. And whenever you leave the place of prayer, whenever you leave that altar, you see, you'll end up in all sorts of problems. But you see, whenever you read then in Genesis 13 verses 1 to 4, it says this. And Abraham went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him into the south. And Abraham was very rich in cattle and silver and in gold. And he went on his journey from the south, even to Bethel, on to the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Ai, on to the place of the altar which he had made there at the first, and there Abraham called in the name of the Lord. Maybe you have left that altar. Maybe you have departed from that altar. You need to get back to it. Abraham needed to get back to the place of prayer. One of the saddest things is in church life today is the place of prayer being neglected. It's neglected. I know a church away down in the country, away down there in Fermanagh, and they have prayer meetings in that church, and the young ones have their prayer meeting, and the older ones have their prayer meeting. Meeting together in the house of God to pray together, a people that pray together, stay together. And you see here, the altar of communion. I wonder, have we got that altar? And then there was the altar of the covenant. That was a covenant that God made with Abraham. We read about it there in verses 14 and 18 of Genesis 13. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot had separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward and southward and eastward and westward. And then in verse 18 it says, and Abraham removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. There's the place of promise. There's where God made a promise to Abraham. Listen, Abraham, I'm going to make a covenant with you. He says, your seed is going to be like the sand on the seashore. He says, your seed's going to be like the stars in the sky. Always remember that Abraham, the promise he never got until he was nearly 100 years old, and Sarah was 90. But yet, God made a promise. And I wonder if God's given us a promise, you see. God gives us promises, you see. God gives us something to hold on to. So God gives us something to pray for. You see, whenever you think of Joshua and Caleb, do you remember the children of Israel when they come out and they wouldn't go into the promised land? They wandered for 40 years. 40 years. Caleb and Joshua, they wanted to go in. They eventually did go in, but it was 40 years before they got the promise. 40 years. We get impatient, don't we? We want everything yesterday. We all want it all to happen yesterday, you see. But when God gives a promise, you see, we need to hold on to that promise. That's why we mark our Bible sometimes. We see the promise, we get there, and we mark it. And then when we read it, we say, well, God promised me that. That's mine. And you've got to hold on to it. And you see here, God gave him a promise, and he built that altar. That was an altar in his life. God says that my seed would be as the sand of the sea, as the stars of the sky, you see. And this was the promise that God had given to him. And then there's the altar of consecration. That's another altar. We read about that there in Genesis chapter 22. 22 in verse 9. It says there, and they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. God told him to take the promise. Abraham, take the promise. Isaac, take him on to a mountain, a place that I show you, lay him there upon the altar, and sacrifice him. Abraham's well on in life now. He's well on down the road. He's had many encounters with God. He's met God in many places, many different situations, many different times. And Abraham can look down his life and he can say, did God ever let me down? Did God ever disappoint me? I feel God many times, but God has never ever failed me. And here he is now asking to take the promise, the seed that was going to be like the stars in the sky and the sand in the seashore, and God's asking him to sacrifice him. And you see, by this time, you see, Abraham has become father of the faith. He has become to have faith in God. And you see, as you move on in your Christian life, your faith grows. It grows. It grows. And you see here with Abraham, and this altar that he was asked to build, he was asked to have faith in what God was asking him to do. And sometimes it's not easy. And I wouldn't stand up here tonight and I would tell you it would be easy. But God has asked him to do something. Faith that brought strength. Faith that brought strength. We read about it there in verse 10. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. That's faith. That's faith. That's faith that was given him strength to do that. And then there was faith that brought surrender in verse 12. And he said, lay not thy hand upon the lion, neither do anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast withheld thy son, thy only son from me. There you see Abraham surrendered to the will of God. You see, that's an altar, you see. That's a place. That's a place that we get to, that we surrender all to God. When you look back in your life, and you can look to a place, will you give God all? Surrender. We live in a country and we're coming into July and they shout, no surrender. But you see, God says, you need to surrender. And here you see it, faith that brought surrender. And then he had faith that brought a substitute. There in verse 13. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. You see, faith that brought a substitute. You see, that's why the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world. He came into the world to take our place. He came into the world to go to that cross at Calvary, to suffer and to bleed and to die for our sin. He that knew no sin became sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. He took our place. He stood in our place. He went to Calvary for us because he loved us. And faith that brought a substitute. Faith that somebody would go to the cross of Calvary and suffer all that Jesus suffered for the sins of the world. And then the very last altar I want us to look at is found there in Revelation 4 and verse 10. Revelation 4 and verse 10. It says, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying. There you see the altar of crowns. The altar of crowns. The day will come, you see. You see, we've all got a crown. A crown of righteousness. A crown of life. And we all have these crowns, and someday there'll be an altar in heaven of crowns. And I wonder, will we have a crown? What will our crown be? There used to be a hymn we used to sing. I was looking for the words of it today, and I couldn't find it, but the first two lines of it are, will there be any stars in my crown? When at evening the sun goeth down. Will there be any stars in our crown? Will there be anything done for God? Only what's done for Jesus will last. And you see, we can look back on our lives and we can look back on the different situations that we find ourselves in, but there's always times that we have a fresh encounter with God. There's always a time that we can meet with God in a special way. And times right throughout our Christian life until the day that the Lord should come and call us home. And you see, then there'll be an altar of crowns. And I wonder, will we have that crown of life? You know, the wonderful thing is there's a man, I don't know, some of you might have heard of him. He was a man called Bill Purtree. Bill Purtree was a tattooist. He used to follow the soldiers all around the army camps, and he used to follow them all around the place, and he used to give them all tattoos. But Bill Purtree met with the Lord in a... You know where he met with the Lord? He met with the Lord in a greenhouse among the fuchsias. People were praying for him, and he got wonderfully saved. But before Bill Purtree died, he done this lovely little gospel tract. Sailor Bill, the Axe Tattooist. And you see that little tattoo, that little gospel tract, it's still gone out today. And people with tattoos, we live in a world today that people are covered in tattoos. Well, that little tattoo speaks. And you see Bill Purtree's in the glory. He died about 4 or 5 years ago. He was a good friend of mine. But you see, Bill Purtree, his works are still falling on. His works are still going on in this world. You see, he built an altar unto the Lord. There's a day in Bill Purtree's life that he met with him in among the fuchsias. And even though now he's gone on to glory, still he speaks on. Noel Grant was another one. He'd done a little book. A little booklet, and the little booklet is called Let Him In, and his works are still following him. And I wonder, dear friends, you know, as this is your last meeting before you break off for the summer, I wonder, will there be any stars in our crown? Have you been at the altars? Have you met with the Lord in a special way? Have you met with them? When was the last time you met with them in a really wonderful way? That you could look back on your life and you could say, I remember the night or the day, whatever, in such a place that I met in a special way with the Lord Jesus Christ. With all altars, we're maybe at the different altars in life, but all our lives are full of altars. But remember, without Christ, you're building your own altar, and it's an altar of corruption. Amen.